Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week we will hear from Pastor Ray on our teaching series, Refocus, Indwelling Our Divine Helper. Now here is Pastor Ray.
Wow. Thank you, Sandy. I see her over here. You are a gift wherever you go, and you're a gift to this church. You're a gift to that community. You are a gift to us. And thank you for to all of you who have given food, money. You've gone down and served. You know, I was here. I heard from a theologian friend of mine this past week, and he was talking about how a lot of Christians have been kind of railing against all the restrictions that have been placed upon us by the government during this pandemic. But he said, you know, we may be fighting against the very thing that God is using to do a new work and things that wouldn't happen otherwise. And you think about this food distribution ministry. I mean, we have given 150,000 boxes of food in the name of Jesus to people who really need it. And we would not have done this without this pandemic. So you have to look at the things that God is opening up to us during this time that otherwise wouldn't have happened and just say, God, thank you. We're submitted to you and we will continue to be a vehicle or a conduit for your glory and your love and your kindness being distributed to this community. So again, thank you. And let's not take our foot off the pedal for this. Let's just keep going and keep looking for ways to serve the Lord and to reach people during this time until it's over. And then we'll find new ways when we're back to whatever normal is, we will find new ways to communicate the gospel, not only with our lips, but by our lives as well. To God be all of the glory. Well, I want you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible or your Bible app, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. We're going to unpack this in just a moment. Before we do that, though, have you ever noticed how the human race really needs symbolism to explain itself? Have you ever seen that or thought of that or noticed how that works? Symbols are important to us as human beings and very, very powerful. Think about this. Symbols call out our deepest emotions. Think about your wedding ring if you're married, what that calls out, the emotions that call out in you, the bread and the wine of communion that we'll be celebrating in a week or two, the American flag. You know, whenever I see the American flag go by in a parade or lifted at a sporting event and the national anthem is being played, I know that that's in some disrepute these days, but man, I tear up for my country. I love my country. I'm patriotic, and it just evokes this emotions in me. So they call out deep emotions. Symbolism also conditions us, nowadays anyway, to cultural shifts. Think about how we have changed, really, primarily, or at least it's been affirmed by the use of symbols. Who of us doesn't recycle anymore? Even if we don't want to, we do because we believe we'll be shamed if we don't. Recycling, or now symbols are calling us to blend all of the religions because we're all the same. Now, one is better than the other, kind of flattening out the religious curve. So it's used to shape. Now, I don't agree with that, but it's being used to shape us into a new way of thinking. Or how about the ubiquitous circle with the dreaded backslash of death that keeps us from doing certain things. Now, you see that sign and it just strikes fear within you. Don't do that. No smoking, no, which is a good thing, by the way. You know, no allowing your pets into this property or this park or whatever. It's just everywhere. So it conditions us to cultural shifts. Symbols clarify identity. You're a Democrat or a Republican. It identifies sexual identity, men, women, or whatever your preferred gender is these days. So it clarifies identity. Symbols communicate core beliefs. How about democracy, the vote sign? That's core to our democracy. Freedom, the eagle symbolizes our freedom. Faith is symbolized by the cross. Among other religions, they have different symbols for that. But did you know that the Bible is also full of symbols? In fact, I think symbolism started with the Bible. We have the altar. We have communion. We have baptism. We're going to have that in a couple of weeks. These teach us sacred truths about God. But no aspect of our faith has as many different symbols as that of the Holy Spirit. Think about this. He is revealed to us in the symbol of fire, or light, or the cloud, or the wind, or water, or oil, or the seal, something that seals to guarantee something. These symbols help us to understand who he is as a person and to embrace his work in our lives. But the least understood symbol of the Holy Spirit is the dove. And when you grasp why, you will see that there's not a more important symbol to our discipleship. And I want to talk about that today. So let's talk about the dove, the dove. And so before we get to Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to also now look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verses 32 through 33. So in this part of John, the Gospel of John, John the Baptist, not the guy that wrote the gospel, but John the Baptist gave this testimony of Jesus. He said, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I did not know him." Now pause there for a second, because John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. So he did know him. But what this is saying is that he didn't recognize that he would be the one who would be the Messiah. John was called to announce the coming of the Messiah, but he didn't know who it was going to be. "So I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" Now, in this very moment, Jesus was baptized in water. Now, we're going to have baptism again. We're going to have baptism in a couple of weeks. And because Jesus was baptized and set us an example that we too ought to be baptized, every single one of us who calls on the name of the Lord, who claims to be a disciple, ought to be baptized in water. So if you haven't signed up for that, then why not? It's time to be baptized in water. Jesus did, so should you. So Jesus was baptized in water, but in this moment, he was also baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? Jesus himself was baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, he had emptied himself, Philippians says, when he came to earth, he emptied himself of all of his God prerogatives, and now he needed to be filled again with this particular prerogative of the believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit lit on him as a dove and remained, not insignificantly, to launch his public ministry, to launch his entry into his ministry as the Messiah. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit's presence to empower his life and his mission. Now, note that it says twice that the dove remained on him. That implies a continuing presence. The Holy Spirit didn't come and go. The Holy Spirit remained in Jesus. But not only was Jesus baptized with the Spirit, but John said he would be the one who would baptize his followers with that same Holy Spirit that he received. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, then how much more do we need the Holy Spirit who follow Christ? And he is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Now, later on, if you'll flip over to John chapter 20 and see verses 21 and 22, Jesus appears to his disciple after the resurrection, and he commissions them to take the gospel into the world, and then he empowers them with the Holy Spirit to take that gospel, to take forth that gospel to the rest of the world. And this is what Jesus says: "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So he's commissioning them to take the message, the good news forth. "Even so, I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, that occurred a few days later in Acts chapter 2. So Jesus required the Holy Spirit in his life. He made sure that his disciples knew that they too needed the Holy Spirit. And in all that we've talked about in this Refocus series that we're ending today, what we are to be and what we are to do as disciples, it is just a discipleship basic that we require the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everything else we've talked about in basic discipleship will not be possible if we too are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in this final message, I want to unpack why God sovereignly chose a dove to symbolize who the Holy Spirit is and what we need to do for him to remain on us like he remained on Jesus. We too desperately need his continual presence. We need him to remain on us so that we too can carry forth the gospel with our lips and through our lives. So what does the symbolism of the dove say to us? Well, there was a great book written a few years ago by an amazing pastor and theologian by the name of R.T. Kendall, and it's called Holy Fire. I would recommend the book to you. Holy Fire is a book on the Holy Spirit. And in this book, he tells of a British missionary couple, husband and wife, who went to Israel. They felt called to go to the Holy Land, and so they established their home near Jerusalem. And they soon noticed that a dove had come to live in the eave of their roof. And they took that as a sign of God's approval. Who wouldn't? You know, the dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and one comes and lights on their home and remains there. And wow, what a symbol of God's approval. But they noticed that it would suddenly fly away whenever they slammed a door or if they argued too loudly. Now, I know what you're thinking. Missionary couples argue? Well, apparently they do. Lynn and I never argue, but missionary couples apparently go at it. And every time they would argue loudly, this dove would fly away. Well, fearing that it would fly away forever because they thought it was a sign of God's approval, the wife said to the husband, either the dove adjusts to us or we adjust to the dove. Well, they knew that the dove was not going to adjust to them, so they would need to adjust to it. And so this missionary couple changed their lifestyles, all to satisfy a bird. They changed the way they lived. Now, the dove is a sensitive bird, but the Holy Spirit is infinitely more sensitive than a bird, which is the chief reason why God chose the symbolism of the dove to signify or to describe who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Now, I would suspect that when most of us think of the symbolism around the Holy Spirit, we think of him as symbolized by fire. We long to be baptized. We long for the Holy Spirit's fire in our lives, don't we? John talked about that in Matthew's version of this account in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said that Jesus will be the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and with what? And with fire, with cleansing power, with this just power, the power that the fire represents. But before we can benefit from this baptism of fire and all of the other works of the Holy Spirit that he longs to do in our lives, listen, we must first adjust to the dove. We must first and often and always adjust to the dove. Let me explain. We know what it's like, most of us do, for the Holy Spirit to fill us. But the problem is, he doesn't seem to stay, does he? Have you experienced that? You know, when I was baptized, marvelously baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I was just a kid at a summer kids camp, man, it was an amazing glory. I bawled my eyes out, tears of joy, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But no sooner had I gone back off the mountain and back home, I didn't feel that same sense of the Holy Spirit in my life. We talk about kids going away to camp and getting this amazing experience and coming home and they lose it, this up and down kind of thing with the Holy Spirit. I was later rebaptized in my late teenage years, and the same thing happened. I had this glorious experience, and then I began to feel, where's the Holy Spirit now? Have you experienced that as well? You feel like, where's the Holy Spirit in my life? He baptized me, but I don't feel him in this moment. Unlike Jesus, upon whom the Spirit remained, our sense of the Holy Spirit's presence doesn't always last. Now, to be clear, the Holy Spirit never leaves us. To be clear, he never leaves us. Jesus promised in John chapter 14, verse 16, that he would abide with us. How long? Forever. He would abide with us. He will abide with us forever. So the dove is a metaphor. The Spirit is not a dove. He's like a dove. So while a dove literally flies off, it's just our sense of the Spirit's presence, our sense of the Spirit's presence that lifts. But the sensitive dove remained on Jesus. Now, why is that? Simply because Jesus never grieved the sensitive dove. Jesus never grieved the Holy Spirit. The Spirit felt at home in Jesus. It's as if he said, I like it here. I think I'll remain. But we, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and we do. At least I do. I recognize that. At times, I grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul, back to Ephesians chapter 4, that's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit who has sealed you. There's that symbolism of the seal, of a seal, who has sealed you for the day of redemption. Now, the good news is the Holy Spirit never leaves us. He is our earnest money, as it were, guaranteeing our eternal life. He has sealed the deal for us. The Holy Spirit in our lives has sealed the deal of our eternal salvation. So grieving him doesn't cause us to lose our salvation. Thank God. Grieving him doesn't cause us to lose our salvation. But when we grieve him, listen to this, when we grieve him, sadly, his anointing in our lives diminishes. What is the anointing? It's his empowerment. His anointing diminishes in our lives, and our presence, our sense of his presence is restricted. He retreats. He fades into the background, into the noise of our lives. It's like he says, okay, you're in charge. I'm only here by your invitation anyway. And so he fades into the background. So if you feel like the Holy Spirit has lifted from you, if you don't feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, this is very likely the reason why. It's very likely why you don't sense his presence. So if you feel like the Holy Spirit has lifted from you, the reason is, it's very likely that you have grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, you may wish that the Holy Spirit wasn't so sensitive, but that's not your call. That's not my call. We don't get to say what he is to be like or not to be like. And he says, look, if I'm gonna be in charge of your life, which is the reason he empowers us, right? He comes into our lives and dwells in us. He wants to be in charge of us to lift us to a new level of living for the Lord. And he says to us, look, if I'm gonna be in charge of your life, then let me be in charge. But it's your call. It's your call. I'm not gonna force my way in. I'm not gonna push my way to the front. You've got to invite me and then allow me to remain there. So herein lies the key to understanding why the Holy Spirit is symbolized by a dove. Are you ready for this? He will not adjust to you. You must adjust to him. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is not going to adjust to you. You must adjust to him. And that is critical to basic discipleship. We must adjust to the dove. So the practical implication of this then, to living the spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, spirit-led life of a disciple, is that we need to find out what grieves the Holy Spirit and then just stop doing it. Listen, disciples, find out in your life, find out what grieves the Holy Spirit and just stop it. You know, Lynn and I have been married for a long time now. And I am still discovering and then eliminating, hopefully, the things that I do that causes grief to her, that grieves her. I'm still learning that. I've learned things recently when she's said to me, hey, that hurt. That didn't make me feel valued or cherished or protected. And it grieves her. And so I'm learning and I'm eliminating what grieves Linda. And she says, well, hurry up, buddy. You got a lot more work to do, probably. So we need to find out in our lives, what is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? And then just stop it. Find out what grieves the Holy Spirit, or let the Apostle Paul unpack it for you, because that's what he does in the next verse. Topping the list of grievers in verse 31 is bitterness. Let me say it again. Topping the list of things that grieves the Holy Spirit in our lives is bitterness. Paul goes on to say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he quickly adds, get rid of all bitterness. So what causes the Holy Spirit to retreat in your life? As much as anything, it's bitterness. As much as anything, bitterness. Bitterness is in the Greek, the word pikria. Pikria And it's a word that really is defined by the rest of that verse. What Paul says in verse 31 as he goes on. He says, get rid of all rage. And that's referring to outburst. Just outburst of upset. And anger. The word there is the word that we have for temperature or thermometer. It's temper. It is an uncontrolled, out of control, or quick temper. And then he adds brawling. Now, I don't know many Christians that brawl, you know, that throwing fists, although I suppose, you know, that could happen. I hope none of you do that. But really, it's referring to yelling. Now, we may not throw fists, but how many of us throw verbal fists? We get upset. We start yelling. And slander, that means to demean someone, to speak ill of another person when they're not present. The Greek word is blasphemia. Blasphemy. We can blaspheme not only the Holy Spirit, but we can blaspheme other people. And then he says, along with every other form of malice. He kind of takes everything and he contains it into this one phrase, get rid of every other form of malice, which means a general nastiness that causes you to harm your relationships. A nasty attitude, a nasty tongue toward people that harms your relationships. So this list, this entire list, starting with bitterness, refers to anything that breaks fellowship and causes disunity in your relational world. And that quickly grieves the Holy Spirit. If your relationships have been broken or wounded or they're strained, listen, friend, that grieves the Holy Spirit as much as anything. That grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, bitterness rises from being mistreated, maligned, misunderstood, misrepresented, or the perception of it. It may have happened in fact, or maybe it didn't happen, but you perceive that something has happened. And we get bitter, we grow bitter. And sadly, listen, sadly, bitterness is so easy to justify. It really is. It's easy to justify. If we're angered or if we're hurt, feeling bitter always seems so right. They hurt me. They offended me. They damaged me. They did it to me. I'm the victim. And so we justify the bitterness that we take on. And what makes bitterness so toxic to the Spirit-filled life is that the self-justification that tolerates it and perpetuates it is the very thing that blocks the Holy Spirit's convicting work in our lives. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction upon sin. And when we're in bitterness, we're justifying, you know, we're justifying why we're sinning. We don't even think it's sin, and it blocks the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of our own sin. And by that, our bitterness can grow, and it can grow worse, and it can grow more damaging. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15 warns, make every effort to live in peace with everyone. Let me say that again. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. See to it that no one falls short of God's grace and that no bitter root grows up, to cause trouble and defile, that is to pollute, to stain many, that it won't grow up and cause trouble and defile many. You know, over the course of my ministry, I have seen roots of bitterness grow up in people. And sometimes it seemed justifiable to them, but they became bitter. And I've watched it destroy ministries. In fact, I just heard of a guy that's left the ministry and he's left as a very bitter man because of what he saw people doing in his church, in spite of his best effort to teach them to live otherwise. And he's become a very bitter, critical, complaining person. It ruins ministry. I've seen it ruin marriages. I've seen it ruin people's health. I've seen that up close and personal in my own family. I've watched it in every congregation that I've been privileged to serve as an associate and as a senior pastor. I've seen it ruin lives. So it comes to this very important question that I want to ask you in this moment, whether you're here in the auditorium or you're watching online. Here's the question for you. Have you allowed bitterness resentment and anger to go unchallenged in your life. Even right now, is there bitterness? Is there resentment? Is there anger toward anyone else? Maybe a spouse? Maybe it's about the spouse you're sitting by right now. Toward a child? Toward a parent? A sibling? In a friendship you thought was a friendship, but someone wounded you? In the place of work, toward your coworkers, toward your boss, in school, toward your fellow students, here at church, toward me, as a senior leader of this church? Is there a root of bitterness? Is there resentment? Is there anger? And you've let it go unchallenged in your life. Listen, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. If you want to know why the Holy Spirit is not empowering you and just overflowing in you, this may very well be the reason why. Very serious. If you want the Holy Spirit to control your life, empower your life, lead your life, it's a very serious matter. So, how do you get rid of bitterness? How do you get rid of it? Are you ready for it? It's very simple. The answer is in verse 32. Here it is. Practice total forgiveness. How do you get rid of bitterness? How do I, as your pastor, get rid of bitterness that might be creeping into my life? Practice total forgiveness. Listen to the verse. Be kind and compassionate toward one another. Forgiving each other. How? Just as in Christ, God forgave you. How did God forgive you through Jesus? Did he do it reluctantly? Did he do it partially? Did he do it, but he kind of hung on to some disappointment in you? You know, he kept a list and he brings that back up every once in a while. You've done that before. This is like the 50th time you've come and asked for forgiveness for this. Does he do that? No, he completes. He forgives completely, unconditionally, and quickly. So practice complete or total forgiveness. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear today. And he wants us to think about that. And he wants to give us opportunity that we could do just that, that we could practice total forgiveness. I'm going to call for the musicians to come back, and in a moment we're going to sing a song and then we're going to have a time of prayer. But friends, and this is so important, spirit fullness in our lives. We all want to be full of the Holy Spirit. Spirit fullness in our lives is increased by decreasing the time gap between sin and repentance. Holy Spirit fullness is increased by decreasing the time gap between being offended and offering forgiveness. Hopefully, decreasing the time gap to like immediately. I'm offended, I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I forgive. Narrow the time to seconds when you sense the dove's wings fluttering to take flight. Narrow the time to seconds. Listen, friends, there is no offense, there's no wound, there's no anger worth grieving the Holy Spirit. None. I don't care how bad your wound, your hurt, your anger is, and how justified you feel, it is not worth grieving the Holy Spirit. So I've asked our team to lead us in a song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. And we're going to sing that. And as we worship, I want to challenge you, whether you're here or online, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of where and how you may have grieved him in this regard. Listen, that's his work, to convict us when we need it. So as we sing this and make this plea to the Holy Spirit, would you allow him to bring conviction to you where and how you may have grieved him by holding unforgiveness or anger or hurt or keeping lists of what others have done to you, that you would allow him to convict you of that. And then we're gonna lift up a prayer of forgiveness. Listen, I'm so excited about this moment because this is your chance to ungrieve the Holy Spirit. This is your chance to ungrieve the Holy Dove by releasing bitterness through giving and getting forgiveness. First of all, getting forgiveness from God and then giving forgiveness to everyone else. So I'm gonna invite you to stand, if you would, please. If you're here in the auditorium, just stand. And at home, you may wanna do this as well. This is a holy moment where the Holy Spirit is gonna do his work among us. And so let's sing this song and then I'm gonna lead us in a prayer. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Sing it again. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, how I long for your presence, Jesus. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Oh, we lift our voice and our hands and we sing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Ask him to let us become more of aware of his presence. Here we go. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh Lord, fill this place, oh God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I'm going to ask our team to sing that first part of that chorus one more time. And I'm going to invite you to come and stand at this altar. Present yourself before the Lord. And we're going to offer a prayer of repentance and ask for forgiveness, and then we're going to ask for a refilling of the Holy Spirit. And if you've sensed that maybe you've grieved the Holy Spirit in any way, you've been hanging on to hurt and bitterness and anger, I'm going to ask you just to come down, take a bold step and just come down here. It doesn't matter what people think of you. Just let go of that. It matters what God thinks of you. And taking that step of faith to present yourself before him, say, God, I'm serious about this. is something that will activate your faith and it will activate the Holy Spirit's precious work in your life. And maybe you're just saying, you know, I don't know if I'm holding out of bitterness, but I just want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to sense His presence more real, more powerful in my life. Then you come and you stand down here as well, and we'll just ask for the Holy Spirit to refill us. And listen, if you're at home watching online, wherever you are, if this is your sense as well, but man, maybe I've been hanging on to bitterness or I want more fullness of the Holy Spirit. Would you just stand if you're sitting right now? It doesn't matter if your family's around you or you're with friends and they're going to think you're weird. Doesn't matter. It's what God thinks of you that's important. So take that step of faith, activate your faith, and just stand in the Lord's presence. So let's sing it again. And you come, if you want more of the Holy Spirit to work in His work in your life, you come and present yourself before His altar.
Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Hallelujah. I want you to know that I'm with you. I'm not standing down there, but I'm standing up here because I want more of the Holy Spirit's presence and fullness in my life. And I want to release anything that is grieving Him that I'm doing, I'm thinking, I'm saying, I want that gone because I want more. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Don't you? You want more and you need more of the Holy Spirit. So would you just lift your hands upward to the Lord and just receive from Him right now as we offer this prayer. God, we want more of your Holy Spirit. You sent Jesus to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And God, we would just pray for that holy fire to fall upon our lives right now and burn out any kind of sin that might be grieving the Holy Spirit. God, we especially would lift up to you and confess before you that we have let bitterness remain within our hearts. We've let anger, we've let woundedness to remain in us far too long when we should have just turned it over to you and allow you to take care of it. And for us then to live at peace and in harmony and in compassion toward those that have hurt us. So God, we confess that. We repent of that. We're sorry for that. Would you cleanse us from that? And would you forgive us of that? Would you take it away from us? Would you remove any blockage in our lives that's keeping the Holy Spirit from having complete reign, complete flow within us? And now, God, we just ask you, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you baptize us afresh and anew with the presence and the power of your precious Holy Spirit? God, when we leave this place, we want to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-formed and Spirit-led people. So we present ourselves to you and we ask you for that. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for hearing us. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Your word says, your son said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so we've asked today. So we say thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit for our lives. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand just for His work today in our lives. And just remember as you go, this will be our benediction today, whether you're watching or you're right here, this is our benediction, that when you asked for a gift, you open your life to the Lord and you allow Him to cleanse you and you ask for His gift, what does He do? He gives it. So go in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit and be led by Him, be filled by Him, be led by Him, and be formed by Him this week, all week long. And we, when we come back together next week, let's gather as a Spirit-filled collection of saints called Portland Christian Center. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time. One more time, give the Lord a hand as we go our way.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.